my gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
We'll put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
You really got to turn that up a little bit, Luke. Yeah, you can on whatever player you're using. Or is it on a separate feed? Aww. Because it can barely be heard. They're funny. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you finally at a sub-100-degree temperature studio. I'm looking outside. It's about 80 degrees outside. We got heavy cloud cover, threatening rain. Oh, I love it. We finally get a season here in California, maybe only for a day. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live. Today is Wednesday, the 8th of September, 2010, 3 days to the Quran burning. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. I got some more emails and articles on that pastor down in Florida that wants to burn a Quran, and everybody's coming down on him and dumping on him. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Lou, give me a sound check over there. Say hello, Lou.
Hello, Lou.
I don't know if you guys can hear Lou or not. Say it again.
Hello, Lou.
He's saying it quieter as I turn it up. Speak up, Lou. Say hello, Lou.
Hello, Lou.
Okay, that's not helping me any. I try to give you a mic.
Wait a minute, man.
What?
I don't know what that was. Anyway, here we are, coming to you live from Central California. Stacy's sitting next to me. Lou's across from me. We got a studio audience in today. Pleasant temperature for the first time ever. We do have the fan going anyway, but that's just to keep Lou's... Never mind. I don't know. We got rid of the little green fan for Lou. We've got the tiny soundboard hooked up. We didn't get a chance to hook up the video, so you won't see it. It messes us up anyway once we go to video. But we've got everything hooked up. We have all brand new cables. So when I hit the phone, it actually comes on. Hope that was loud enough to wake everybody up. And we are a call-in show. We had one guy call in yesterday, and it was a wrong number. So 559-561-8225, 559 559-561-8225. I've had people say I say that too fast, but it's on the website. I want to welcome all of our people listening from Facebook. I almost said Home Depot. Our friends listening from Home Depot. I don't know why. I have no idea why I said that. I was thinking that. What is it? MySpace. We've got people listening now on delay, a couple hour delay, on the Watchman dot, what was it? Well, the Watchman. Just Google the Watchman, Patriot Radio, and you'll find it. We're on shortwave now. Scotty's in here, so he's retransmitting us on 11 meters, which is CB for those of you in Rio Linda. And we're just all over the place. I'm getting listener reports back from some of the strangest places, and I really enjoy it. And, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention our pod people. I love our pod people. Just thousands of downloads on the pod people side. I love it. Now, I know it's not all the Southern Poverty Law Center downloading it one at a time. I know that it's at least five people. So thank you. Thank you very much for downloading it. You have permission to, what is it called, burning it to disk and handing it out, retransmitting it in its entirety. If you're a news agency and you want to use any piece of this, you have to get written permission. Even if it's for news or satire, I'm putting forth my rights and demanding that you contact me before you do so. And I know that's not going to stop the scumbags, especially with yesterday's show. I got a lot of email on yesterday's show. People thought I went off the deep end because I was so mad and angry and upset about some stuff. I'm not crazy or angry, but Stacy is. Stacy is here with the tiniest computer ever made. It is smaller than the law books here. This is it's not. It's like
small for me.
It's tiny. You're going to lose that in your purse if you had one. It's small, and it's purple, and it still has the plastic on it. Can I peel the plastic off? Come on, that drives me nuts. It's like a scab. I got to peel it. But shouldn't I peel it?
I don't want a scratch like yours.
Oh, now you're dissing my computer. Anything that's wrong with my computer is because they were misused by other people in the room that will go unnamed. Anyway, so this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. I do want to remind you guys, I got to reach behind me. We cleaned in here today, so a lot of my resource material is behind me on the shelf. I've just found out that I've been added to the Old Paths Christian Conference as a speaker.
What?
I just found that out today.
What?
I'm going to be giving a presentation on emergency preparedness up on the field.
What?
Yes, I am. Stacy,
you
see,
didn't tell me.
Well, I was supposed to be a surprise when I went with the pastor today to go check the alarm on that building. So they're adding me and one other guy, and I forgot the other guy's name. I feel bad now. But I'm going to have about, 40 minutes maybe up on the field. I don't know which day it is. I just told the pastor to point to me, and I'll start talking. And I'm going to be talking about disaster preparedness and getting your militia disaster preparedness trained as a community outreach. We'll talk a little bit about, sir, you guys have heard it. But I'm actually honored that he's going to give me even 20 minutes. I'm really impressed. I'll be whenever the shooting demonstration is. He said I will be going on after the shooting demonstration. So that'll be like Saturday noon, or was it Sunday, Lou? When was the shooting last year? It was both days.
Both days.
Yeah. So one of the 2 days I'll be doing a presentation after the shooting demonstration, and I don't even know what the shooting demonstration is going to be yet. But I'll be allowed to do it. So I'll have to wear. I wonder if I have to wear a suit and tie. Because usually all the presenters have to dress up for this.
Do they make camouflage suit and
tie? I don't know. I'll have to find a camouflage suit and tie.
They do.
Stacy, you have 3 weeks to whittle me up one. But remember, our conference is coming up. It's coming fast. And whether or not we have a roof on the building, I was told today we will do the conference. We were supposed to have our new roof on before then. I need to whittle up a roof thing. But our roofing material hasn't come in. But we find out today such a blessing. I wish I could find out the name of the guy we're getting the materials from. The materials that we're getting for our roof, wholesale at $35,000. He charged us $11,000.
Wow.
He says it's a donation to the church.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then the labor, of course, is being donated by people from the community and other people here. So we are being blessed with a new roof. Let's just pray that it gets on. He says he can do it in 1 week. And the materials are supposed to be in the next couple of days. So even if we don't have a roof, we're doing the conference. Somebody down there? Everybody's like looking around. You look at the roof. So this Old Paths History Conference is October 2nd and 3rd. That's coming up real fast. That's the first Saturday and Sunday. But please come early. Come on a Friday and stay late. I can't guarantee I'll give you much attention on that early Friday because Lou and Stacy and I will be very busy setting up audio and video stuff. But on the following week, if you want to stick around and camp here on the property, we'll do some shooting together on the shooting range. That's kind of the tradition here. I'll give you some one-on-one training, or maybe you can even train us if you know more than we do or know something we don't know. So we still got Chuck Baldwin's coming. Peter Hammond is still confirmed. John Weaver is still confirmed. Of course, Pastor Warren Campbell. Two other pastors, one of them I know, is Warren Luke Campbell, the son of Warren Mark Campbell. I don't know what he's speaking on. I'm going to be speaking, of course, for like 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes on disaster preparedness and that kind of stuff. So that's what I'll be doing there. But it's going to be a great time. It is $50. $50. Do you understand that? So you make your reservation, you send us $50. The reason we're doing that is because last year we had a lot of people make reservations and not show up. And other people didn't show up because they didn't think there was room because there's only enough seating for 280 people. And only the first 200, 220 are going to be allowed to sit in the chapel. The other ones are going to be an overflow, and we'll have a big screen TV with the audio and everything set up for you, and that's some of the stuff that Lou and I got to be setting up. And you'll still be able to interact with the speakers during the breaks and all that kind of stuff. And plus, the fellowship that goes on behind the scenes, camping up on the field, camping in the playground, just that kind of stuff, worth well more than $50. They used to charge $40 years ago, then they stopped for a while, and then they started doing it again. And then they started doing it again now just because people weren't showing up, like I said. 280 people. You want to meet Chuck Baldwin? Here's your chance. I can't think of another conference you could go to at any price where you're going to be able to, where you're almost guaranteed to be able to walk up to him and talk to him, because he's going to have a little table set up in between, and you'll have an opportunity to speak with him and ask him questions. Talk to him about his new move to Kalispell. Those of you that didn't know, he's shutting down his church, handing it over to another pastor, several people in his congregation. He, his children, and his grandchildren, so that's three generations, are moving to Kalispell. I've got a call into him, and I've got an email into him. I'd like to talk to him about that on the air. The guy's so busy, I doubt he'll respond, but it'll be interesting to see what he's in his mindset. I want to know two things. What triggered this finally for him? I mean, it has been a gradual decision for him, obviously, the letter that I read to you guys on the air that he put out. But what was the trigger? What did he finally say, enough is enough? And two, why Kalispell, Montana? Why? I mean, if you're a fan of like survivalblog.com and stuff, there's about 10 places you could go. 10 decent places you go, and one of them, in fact, is Northern California. For those of you that are always, you haters out there that don't like California. But I want to know why Chuck Baldwin is deciding to go to Kalispell. You know, why not Idaho? Why not North Dakota? The only reason I wouldn't go to Arizona, because it's in one of the top 10, because they got great gun laws and they are fighting, you know, and they're on the front lines. There's the heat. And then Montana, I think of the snow. Somebody coming from Florida to Montana, I hope he knows what he's getting himself into. I grew up in the snow in the mountains of Colorado, and even now, you know, after I've been living here 16 years in California, I think it would be a shock to my system. Although I wouldn't mind, I'd love to go back if the Lord called me to go back to Colorado, but I got no one there. I got one brother, but he doesn't seem too interested in doing the same things I'm doing. And so I can see, you know, why a northern state. I wish he'd told us he was looking. It would have been great. Can you imagine getting Chuck Baldwin to move to here? Dang, his whole family here. But it's California, and it's a hard sell. You know, trying to sell California as a retreat for patriots is terrible. It's a tough sell, and it's really hard for me to do. But I encourage you guys to keep checking us out. Keep checking out the websites. Keep, you know, listening to the pastor's sermons. Lou always throws those up. Thanks to Olima for putting our shows up, and we've got enough resources out there now. We've built up a good body of work, so that if you want to direct your friends, I know the 90% of the people that email me, they say they would be here if not for the economic or family ties. If you got a job, don't quit it. That's the thing a lot of people are saying. But if you're in a city or something, I can tell you right now, after our little journey yesterday, you know, over the last few days, it's nice to see and be home again. Let's put it that way. I really enjoy coming back to a church that teaches solid gospel and being away from all the sodomite, yuppieite, hippieites that are out there. So it's nice to come home to this. If I could just have a couple days to show you what we're all about here, I know you'd like it. And if not, move here. You probably would at least make plans to make this your retreat. And if not, the other thing you would do is you'd come here and say, man, I have to create this where I'm at. Our friends in Massachusetts, Batfag, I don't know who's in the room. I need to go back in the room. But I know he's trying to find people there. He's trying to find people as good as, you know, in his area. We've got, who do we got in the room today? We got Guesty72970. Don't know who that is, but welcome. I got Dutch Jones Redneck V. What is that? Redneck. Oh, it's half of a W. There's me or Lou, there's Warland, there's Scotty, there's Olima, a couple guests. So welcome, welcome, welcome. We got a surprise yesterday. Usually on Tuesdays we don't broadcast on Liberty Tree Radio, but it turns out they decided to start broadcasting us that second hour 5 days a week, so that's nice. I'm honored and glad to... oh, I see. Now I can see your whole name when you post in there. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that Ed made that decision. Because with that, it gives us a whole other outlet. Although, I did put out a call for an increase in donations, and we haven't gotten any. I know the people in the room are already doing their pulling their weight. We got Scotty rebroadcast us. Olima does the archiving. Warland, well, Warland, I'm not exactly sure what you're doing out there, but I'm getting a lot of people that say that they've heard about the show from you. I don't know where you're promoting it, but that's good. So, you know, I appreciate that. What we need is the other people that aren't pulling their weight to donate. So when I'm flogging the dog for funds, it's not you guys. I want you to know that. If you're doing anything to help us, then consider yourself immune from my requests. I just want you guys to know that. So you pod people that are listening now, you people in Belgium, New Zealand, Germany, all over the place that are listening to this show for free. You know, we really need your help, because we got to kick some money over to Liberty Tree Radio. We haven't paid them in a long time. And the original agreement was that we were going to pay like $80 a month, and we have never been able to do that. We have never been able to do that. I figured that, Warland, because I figured he just put in the chat room that he promotes the place, because I get people all the time saying they heard about it from Warland, or the other name that you use on Facebook. I won't give that out here. We won't mix and match here. But it's good today. We've got, I think it should sound better. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but how does it sound? We've got brand new audio cables, brand new soundboard. Lou even looks a little more serious. Hey, welcome, Chuck. Good to have you in during a normal broadcast. It's nice to know. Chuck's one of our pod people that listens to the replay. So it's good to have you in there. So we've been talking for 16 minutes, and I haven't really mentioned anything. There's something that I do want to mention. Let me go here, and I got to go here to my articles. I love this article because, one, I didn't know what was going on because, you know, I've been kind of out of the loop. But I guess a couple of days ago, a bicycle cop in Los Angeles was trying to stop a drunken illegal alien on a bicycle, and he pulled a knife, the illegal alien did, and the cop shot him a couple of times and killed him. So now there's been rioting going on in L.A., and because I don't have a TV, I didn't know about it, but somebody sent it to me on Facebook, so thank you whoever sent it to me. I apologize for not giving you just desserts, but here it is, AP News, L.A. police moved to quell more shooting protests. Now this is written by Thomas Watkins, Associated Press writer, and this one came out about an hour ago, so it's the latest update, I guess. Police mobilized Wednesday to avoid more mayhem on the streets after being taken by surprise at consecutive nights of violent protests sparked by the fatal shooting of a knife-wielding man. Now, the police chief, city officials, and consul general from three Latin American countries scheduled a community meeting as senior officers tried to reach out to residents of the central Los Angeles neighborhood where the man was shot. Now, Sunday's killing of Manuel Jimenez, I hate saying their names right, Manuel Jimenez, 37, has turned into a rallying point as community members, aided by outsiders, have taken to the streets for two nights running and used the death to highlight past injustices and vent ongoing frustrations. Now, I think it's funny, and I'm not a big fan of the cops. I don't even know if this is a righteous shooting. You know, we'll get into the meat of it in the story. The little bit I read, sounds like the guy just pulled a knife on the cop and the cop drilled him. I probably would have done the same thing. But everybody's saying, oh, he was harmless. He was just a drunk old guy. He wasn't hurting anybody. He wasn't even old. No. He was a drunk Mexican on a bike with a knife. And to make it sound like that this is what happens, that the people are protesting because this is the norm, that cops are out there gunning down illegal aliens. In fact, it's the opposite. Illegal aliens are committing huge amount of crimes. But the first time one of them gets killed by a cop for pulling a knife, they protest, they riot. Yeah. This tells you a little bit about that culture.
They don't make sense.
They just don't make sense. This isn't a racist comment. This is a cultural comment. The illegal aliens that come up here, the legal aliens that come up here with a culture of crime are just retarded. And I don't understand how this one shooting would put into the streets, except for the fact that they're always looking for an excuse. They're always looking to jump on something. They probably don't even, half the community wouldn't even have given this guy a ride home. I'm talking about the so-called Latino community. But now that he's dead for pulling a knife on a cop and being drunk in public, you know, granted, he was probably only endangering himself, but once you pull a knife on a cop, you better be ready to go. I know in my heart that if I get pulled over for speeding, I don't have a driver's license, I don't have insurance because I don't believe in that stuff, they're probably going to pull guns on me. If I pull a knife, guess what? Dutch gets shot. I have an understanding of cause and effect in today's law enforcement mindset. Okay, you add alcohol to it, you may say, well, he was drunk, so it's not fair. Being drunk and in public with a weapon to me, that's just I'm not saying you deserve to get shot, but you deserve to get shot. Okay? So I'm going to go on with the article. What?
Asking for trouble.
If you're asking for trouble. That's like giving a three-year-old a chainsaw and leaving the house and going, okay, everything better be nice when I get back. Police have defended the killing and said that they are taken aback by the level of protest for a case that seemed like a clear-cut case of justifiable use of force. Each year, the LAPD is involved in about 40 shootings. Those that typically cause controversy involved unarmed or surrendered suspects. Yeah, when they shoot some guy in handcuffs. Residents outraged over the killing have said police should have handled the situation differently and say they're surprised by department brass shows that the force is out of touch with the people. I misread that, but the residents, the Latinos, are saying that the police don't know what's up. Three bicycle officers were flagged down Sunday by people concerned about a man wielding a knife. There, boom, he'd already been threatening people. The officers approached the suspect and told him in Spanish and English to put down the weapon. Instead, Jimenez raised the knife above his head and lunged at Officer Frank, now get this last name, Hernandez. Frank Hernandez, another Hispanic cop. He's a 13-year veteran of the department, said Captain Chris Pitcher, who leads the Los Angeles Police Department's Force Investigation Division. Now, Hernandez shot Jimenez twice in the head. Finally, a cop who can shoot. Usually they fire 14 rounds. They hit everything. They wound the guy. He lingers and dies. I'm actually impressed that he had two shots to the head. He must have been really close. Now, Jimenez died at the scene. Several witnesses later told police Jimenez had been drinking. They could have used pepper spray or a taser gun. I love these people who say that. Some guy's coming at you with a deadly weapon. You should use less force. You should throw pillows at him. You should pepper spray him. Two things. Pepper spray doesn't work on a drunk. I've tried it. It doesn't work. I get Lou drunk all the time and spray him with pepper spray, and he still comes at me with a Nerf knife.
Nerf knife?
Yeah, he thinks it's a real knife. You didn't know that was a Nerf knife?
They have Nerf knives?
Yeah, they have Nerf knives.
That's funny.
Yeah, and that's what you've been carrying. Look, you have a Nerf knife. Don't really pull it on anything serious.
Is a double-edged Nerf knife still legal?
Yeah, I don't know if a double-edged Nerf knife is illegal in California, though. Let's see. They could have used pepper spray or a taser gun, said Salvador Sanabria, executive director of nonprofit community group El Rescate. We got to look up that word, what that means. L-R-E-S-C-A-T-E. It probably means kill Whitey. The community reacted this way because they thought there was another way to deal with a drunk guy. Okay, I'm going to tell a racist joke here. It's a drunk Mexican with a knife, and they wanted less lethal force. Should he have used a beaner bag in a shotgun? Okay, I don't usually tell racist jokes, but I thought that would be corny enough that I could get away with it. No, I'm not serious. Pitcher said Jimenez was an undocumented immigrant. Excuse me. Pitcher said Jimenez was an illegal scumbag immigrant from Guatemala. He was carrying a switchblade knife with a serrated 3-inch blade. Police said the knife was covered in blood, and DNA tests were being carried out to determine whose blood it was. Officers received unconfirmed reports Jimenez may have attacked someone before police arrived. See? The officers involved were placed on administrative leave, a standard move after shootings. You notice I'm not screaming about how bad the cops were in this one? See, I'm being fair. I mean, given the evidence that I've read in this and two or three other articles, righteous shooting. An estimated 300 protesters who gathered outside the local police station pelted officers Tuesday night with eggs, rocks, and bottles and set a trash bin on fire. And I saw some reports on YouTube that show they were throwing bricks. Others dropped household items from apartment buildings. Officers fired at least two rounds of foam projectile. There's, you know, at demonstrators, and 22 people were arrested, mainly for failure to disperse an unlawful assembly. Now, the night before, three officers were slightly injured by thrown objects, and four people were arrested on suspicion of misdemeanor inciting a riot. Suspicion of inciting a riot? Police Chief Charlie Beck said he was surprised by the extent of the protest. Though he was withholding judgment on the case pending an investigation, he said the shooting seemed relatively non-controversial. Drunk Mexican pulls knife, gets shot twice in face. I see no problem with that myself. This was a tragic thing. I wish it could have worked out different, Beck said, but the facts are very straightforward. The LAPD has long struggled with image problems in poorer communities. Not poorer communities, it's black and Hispanic. I thought you were playing music. Okay, on May 1st, 2007, police pummeled immigration rights marchers and reporters with batons and shot rubber bullets into the crowd. The city was gripped with widespread riots in 92. I was there. After the Rodney King verdict came back and let the cops off for wailing on that black drunk driver. Beck said the recent protests were the culmination of a variety of frustrations, including, get this, a terrible economy, a feeling of victimization among immigrants who say U.S. population likes to blame them for many of society's shortcomings. Yeah, let's blame this on the Minutemen. Let's blame this on Tea Partiers, shall we? I got a lot of things to blame on Tea Partiers, but violence against guys with knives is not one of them. As you polarize society, this is the kind of thing you can push forward, the chief says. See, even the police chief is trying to blame those of us that want our borders closed. He also blamed activist groups, including Revolutionary Communist Party, for co-opting peaceful vigils and inciting violent protests. Now, the RCP, Revolutionary Communist Party, they show up at every one of these. They are professional rioters, they are professional agitators, and they are federal agents, and they are cops. Period. There is no Revolutionary Communist Party. It doesn't exist. I've been with these people. I've been in the riots. I've been on both sides of it. They're cops. They're professionally paid agitators that go in to raise it to a fever so the cops can go in and make arrests. That's all I'm going to say on that. But trust me, a lot of these more radical groups that show up, the skinheads, the Nazis and those, they're cops. Beck patrolled the area as a captain in the aftermath of the Rampart corruption scandal in which the LAPD anti-gang unit was the focus of allegations that officers framed and beat innocent people. He said community outreach has improved considerably since then. Okay, we're getting into the whole, oh, let's cry about the backstory here. I don't really care about that kind of stuff. But somebody, go home if you don't like abiding by our laws. Just because you're an immigrant doesn't mean someone should stand there and get stabbed. It doesn't give you the right to be above the law. See, that's a good point. It's an excellent point. These illegal aliens are super citizens. They're completely above the law. They're given all kinds of special conditions. And when a police officer, a Latino police officer named Hernandez, does the right thing, sees a maniac, drunk guy coming at him with a switchblade knife with blood on it, not saying that the officer could see the blood, and drills him twice in the face, or head. The story did say head, but it's probably going to be in the face. If he shot him in the back of the head, then I'm going to be going, sounds like an execution, but it just shows how big of a whiny culture they are. They want everything handed to them. They want everything to lean their way. You can't shoot one of us. Even if we're trying to kill you, we still have the advantage because we are downtrodden. You stole our land. I can stab you if I want to. That's what they're thinking. That's what they want. And we can't allow this to happen. I actually put some posts up. I hope this starts something. I hope this turns into a full-fledged racial riot in L.A. Because, one, it'll get the wise people to flee and come up here. And, two, everybody else will get eaten up by it. I know that sounds cold, but I'm done. I'm tired. I'm tired of waiting for this thing to set off. Are you playing the music?
Yeah.
What's that guy's name again, Dutch?
Huh?
What's the guy's name again that got shot?
Jimenez. Okay, we'll be back after the break. We're going to play some commercials, and I'm going to do a little dance and drink some water. We'll be back right after the break.
It is time to organize. It's a time of war, and it's time to revolt, and it's your time to show we are a people of a struggle hasta San Diego.
We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in the great United States.
It's
high time
that
we live there now.
Too many whites came. We couldn't stop you. Too many blue eyes.
We are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution?
We're going to take over all the political institutions of California. In 5 years, the Hispanics are going to be the majority population of the state.
You also made the statement that California is going to become a Hispanic state, and that if anyone doesn't like it, they should leave. Did you say that?
I did. They ought to go back to Europe.
They need a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States.
a bad beat. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on the immigration in these great United States.
Antifa!
Viva!
Go back to England, you fucking. Go back to England, you fucking redneck. Go back to England.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out on all points, boom. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world order. Attention.
Government is an emergency.
Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Slow down. You're going a mile a minute.
What was that? It got quieter. That was really weird, Lou. That was really weird. It got, like, way quieter instead of louder. We still got to work
down.
Out.
You're going a mile a minute.
I don't know if they can hear that. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. It's only the second half hour. It seemed like it just yesterday flew by. Today's dragging by. And just so you guys know, there we go. I'll turn that up a little bit. We'll be leaving out of here for Bible study tonight. We're going to be watching a video called God Makers, and it's a neat little story on the Mormons and on some of the weird stuff that they do. And so our pastor is going to show it because everybody's starting to worship Glenn Beck in our church. We're getting all these, oh, Glenn Beck this, Glenn Beck that. My pastor wants to show him why we reserve a little bit on him. So we're not going to just jump in behind him. Oh, good. You guys did hear that little thing Lou was doing. In my headphones, it's really quiet. Maybe it's all the wax in my ears. But this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live from Cahuilla, California. Now, I do mention the Church of Cahuilla quite a bit, but know that the things I say are not necessarily the views of the Church of Cahuilla. It's pastors, the people who sit in the pews, the people who donate money to the church, the people who come around and whine about stuff. It's not necessarily, these are my views. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't sometimes agree with me, But if you don't like something I'm saying, and I'm saying this for Nicholas, you big whining baby, if you don't like what I'm saying, don't write the pastor. He doesn't control this show. He gives me the venue. He lets me have the space, and we pay for the electricity. We do what we can. But it's not the church at Cahuilla doing this radio show. This is the Dutch Jones radio show. This is Lewis, Stacy, and I coming together. We talk all day. We read articles. We decide what we're going to talk about. And then I get the luxury and the pleasure of being the one on the air. So don't write the church at Cahuilla complaining about what I say. It's pathetic. It's pathetic to do that. There's only a couple of you doing it. Of course, we know. What was the name you wanted me to use, Lou?
What?
For Nicholas, what was the word? What was it? Okay. What's the disease you get from eating uncooked meat?
Nicky Coli.
That's what Lou came up with today. Nicky Coli, because he's poisonous. And he's writing letters to the pastor complaining about what I'm talking about on the show. And then sending me emails saying he doesn't listen to the show. And I'm like, but wait a minute, how did you...
No, he's a liar.
So I'm not going to spend much more time on that because he's probably one of the guests, or one of his stooges is one of the guests. But I just want to tell you that. If you don't like what I'm saying, don't listen. You know, I don't care. What is that coming from?
I don't know. It just does.
Yeah, your soundboard's playing it for some reason. It's hidden in the side. Instead of ants, we got ghosts in the soundboard playing weird stuff. I don't know what that was. It sounded like something from Fat Albert. You don't know what it... Seriously, you don't know what that was?
No.
It must be something on a website that you're on or something. So anyway, we're done talking about that. The phone number to call in is 559-561-8225. Where is it? Just shut down some... Shut your windows. You've got some page open that's got that activates an ad. I bet you've got an ad. It's probably some kind of ad or something that you're passing it over. So you guys can call in, 559-561-8225. Call in, ask about the conference. You know, you want to know about motels, restaurants, what the climate's like, what kind of, you know, how much food to bring. You know, the Civil War, I hate saying Civil War dance, but we have to say that for the general public so they understand. The War of Northern Aggression dance Saturday night, we do encourage costumes. And this has been asked, if you bring a northern costume, we are going to beat you. No, I'm just kidding. You can wear a northern costume.
And
the little southern gangs might come over and beat you. Mostly it's youth, teens, and 20s, and then a couple elderly folks.
I haven't passed my initiation yet.
Yeah, Lewis hasn't passed the initiation yet. He's got to stab a northerner. Is that what you're saying? Oh, I totally missed the whole line there. So if you come in a northern costume, Lewis might simulate stabbing you to stay in the gang, you know, the Confederate gang. But if you want to wear a northern uniform, that's fine. Just don't come dressed as General Sherman. That's showing up as Hitler at a bat mitzvah, as far as we're concerned here. So don't come dressed as General Sherman or Lincoln. Although I do have pictures of our pastor shaking hands with a Lincoln impersonator at a tea party, which is kind of funny. I was like, ugh. Like, did you wash your hands afterwards, Pastor? Or did you look into his eyes and see that he had no soul? And he's like, it's just an actor. We gave him a bunch of books on the truth about the war of federal aggression. But if you have questions about that, I can answer those. If you're interested in checking out our website, it's dutchjones.tk, dutchjones.tk. To email us, dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com, dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com. But quite honestly, most of you are using Facebook now. We did set up a Twitter thing. I forgot how to get back into it. A couple people asked me to use Twitter. I don't know what it is. I think Facebook is so much better.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's stupid or not. I mean, it's just sending little blurbs. But Facebook is the way to go. Most of my listeners are on Facebook. I have about 560 fans on my page, and about 200 of them are listeners, just by the feedback that they give me. So go to Facebook, type in Dutch Jones, and you will find me. And I will add you as a friend, and that is the quickest way, because everything I talk about, if Stacy sends me an article, she sends it to Facebook. If I find an article that I want to talk about, I post it on Facebook. That way you can be a little, have a leg up on it and start watching it and reading it. Just like this article we're talking about here, LAPD brass pleads for calm, you know, with this whole illegal alien thing going on in L.A. right now, you know. That's up there, so if you wanted to read it, And just remember, let's see, what's this? The next thing, I wanted to do another follow-up on the Quran burning, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But going back to what we were talking about the first half hour, I just find it hilarious that Mexican gangsters can do drive-bys. They can rape, they can murder, they can... We just had one guy burn his ex-girlfriend alive, and they found her body. He's just been charged for it up here in the Fresno County area. He burned her alive. And all from that Latino culture that we're supposed to respect. And you don't see anybody protesting in the streets.
No.
But the minute a cop shoots a guy for wielding a knife when he's drunk, in self-defense probably, you know, and I'm not a big fan of cops. But this one looks like it was a clean shoot. They go nuts. They just, if anything else, use this as a warning for what's going to happen when something serious happens. They can do whatever they want. And nobody's allowed to complain about it or bring up statistics, but the minute a cop kills one of them doing something stupid, you know, they start rioting in the streets, you know, and throwing bricks at cops. Like I said, I hope this is a trigger for something. Let LA burn. Let Los Angeles burn to the ground. God grant the wise people a path out. Let them do like the Bible says. Don't bury your father. Don't go home and gather anything. Just run to the hills. Run to a stronghold. And if you're in L.A. right now listening to the sound of my voice, you better have a plan. Hey, Cat just jumped in the window. He's going to fall. He's going to fall. He's like, help me. Help. I just fell 8 feet to his death.
No, he didn't.
Is he dead now?
No.
I hate it when we have this window open. The stray cats jump in. Not the band, actual cats.
He's not a stray cat. He's my cat.
He's a feral cat. He was raised by wolves. Hey, he broke my... I was not raised by wolves. I was raised by aunts and a couple uncles. Anyway, let's use these stories as harbingers of a thing to come, folks. The reason I do this show is not because, well, one, I do like the sound of my own voice, but two, and I'm not doing it to get rich or famous, but I'm doing it to show you guys that there are signs everywhere. And I'm not talking about end time signs, just signs. We've been seeing it a lot lately. We'll talk about something, and then, like, for the next 2 days, that thing will pop up. It's called, you know, the shrimp, plate of shrimp theory from Repo Man. If you haven't watched Repo Man, you don't know what I'm talking about. But not serendipity, synchronicity. And synchronicity, I mean, it's not anti-biblical or anything, but I think that God talks to us. The other day, we went to Calistoga, and they had fainting goats. These goats, if you stare at them funny, they just faint. Lou thought he was, you know, killing them. You know, he's doing the men who stare at goats things. And then, like, that night, there was a whole thing on National Geographic about the fainting goats of, like, Paraguay. It was the next day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I'd never even heard of fainting goats. We run into them there, and then the next thing you know, they're there. Yeah, this is different than men who stare. These are just goats that faint. And then it's been happening a lot in the last 3 weeks. I'll read an article, and then, boom, there'll be a connection. Boom, boom, boom. You know? And, the Lord uses many different ways to get us ready, folks. Today, we came through, we cleaned out the studio, we cleaned out the front of the library, because we have to. I mean, you know, we're normally cluttered, and you know, you won't find like a tuna fish sandwich under my bed, but you will find shoeboxes full of ammo, all mismatched and cluttered. I'm a clutter guy. I'm not as bad as the people on TV where I'm hoarding, but I do, hey, I need this. I've got like 5 mess kits, there's only 4 of us, but you never know. So we were carrying our ammo out, doing all that kind of stuff, and I forgot where I was going with this, but I'm getting ready. I really feel like I see this storm coming over the mountain right now. Physically, I see a storm coming. I feel like there's a storm coming for America, and I share this with you guys, not just so you guys think I'm cool and neat and a superhero. That's why I use a fake name. You may, unless you come to the conference, you're going to meet me, and you're probably going to be horribly disappointed, but I do this because I feel a movement in my soul to do so, that there is something going on, that we need to get ready for this. That's why I bring you these articles. And some things I get all excited about, and then I fade, you know, like the whole Arizona border thing. I was all excited about that until they reelected McCain to run. And I thought, well, if those people are dumb enough to choose McCain, then I don't want to sacrifice my blood for their cause. The thing with throwing pork at the, I almost said synagogues, at the mosque sites, I'm all about that. I'm all about this burning of the Quran on September 11th. And no, I don't buy into the fact that the towers were dropped by just, you know, Nazi Muslim terrorists. No, I know that. I know it was far more complicated than that. but I also know that the Muslims are an enemy, just like I know the Jesuits are an enemy, just like I know that Zog is an enemy. So what's going on down in Florida, and everybody's dumping all over this one pastor who's going to burn Korans. Did he leave already? Oh, I thought he left already. Burning Korans on September 11th, and everybody's jumping on him. I wish I had enough clout where they would go, he only has one supporter, and that's Dutch Jones. But this poor pastor's got nobody. And they're digging deep into his past. They're interviewing estranged daughters, saying that he's a thief and all this, just because he's doing something that's right.
Right.
Now, how many times do we see the evening news and they're burning effigies of Uncle Sam? How many times are the Bibles being burned? How many times are Christians' rights being stomped all around the world? Missionaries being set afire?
Yeah.
And we want to burn a book.
Yeah.
And they go nuts. I know what you're saying. Well, that's Nazi. No, the Quran is evil. And I encourage all of you on September 11th to do, if you just download one page of the Quran, burn it. And let people know why you're doing it. What?
I was going to say they're burning flags. And
burning flags.
And all
yeah. I mean, an entire church in Kenya, 500 Christians, piled into a church right, you know, it looked like something out of the movie The Patriot, but 500 Christians, they piled mattresses and whatever they could around the church and they burned it. And I didn't hear an international outrage over that. They burned Christians alive in a church. And in fact, the political party that did that were related to Obongo. And the only reason I know that is because I watch Russian and German news. I don't watch the whores on our TV, the liars. And this guy wants to burn Korans. Now this is, they're even saying his old church in Germany. They had to go all the way to Germany to find a church that he was a pastor at. They don't want him to do it. It's increasingly looking as though the only spiritual or political figure who will not denounce Florida Pastor Ted Jones' plan to commemorate September 11th by burning copies of the Quran is Jones himself. That's real witty. Wednesday brings the news that even the church Jones founded in Germany in the 1980s is condemning the upcoming Quran burning at this small place of worship in Gainesville, Florida. We need to let this guy know we support him. Okay, it's... he's got the church and everything. I'll give you that information, but Luke can maybe Google it while I'm doing it. But he's got a banner out in front of his church down in Gainesville. It says International Burn a Quran Day, 9/11/2010, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. We got to figure out the time change. It's like 9 p.m. here. We can do it at night. It'll be really festive. The sun will be down. We can burn a Quran. Do we have a Quran?
No.
There's got to be one here. Well, you can print one up. We are surprised and shocked at the extreme radicalism being displayed by Jones. It's funny, his last name is Jones, too. Right now on this issue, Stephen Barr of the Christian Community of Cologne told the Associated Press. Now, the 60-member church kicked out Jones in 2008. Jones' estranged daughter says he was kicked out because he was taking money from the till to pay his own expenses. See how they defame the guy? May or may not be true. But why? Look at the level that they go through to get this guy. They go all the way to Germany, find an estranged daughter to say that, hey, the guy's a crook. Jones' wish to burn hundreds of copies of the Islamic holy book has drawn a wide chorus of protests. General David Petraeus, we talked about that. He's going to get soldiers killed. No, you're going to get soldiers killed, General Petraeus. That it would hurt U.S. troops. While hundreds of Afghans protested in Kabul and burned Jones an effigy. Okay, so that's their right. They want to burn a picture of Dutch Jones or this guy Jones. Fine. What did I say his name was, Lee? Pastor Terry Jones. Google Pastor Terry Jones. See if we can get an email for him. And I want you guys to send him emails of support. And then we'll put it up on the Facebook page, too. He's going to go ahead with it anyway, even though the fire department is not granting him a burn permit. Well, if you do it right, I mean, you just have a little warming fire in your backyard. You don't need a burn permit anyway. Granted, he's going to do a couple hundred of them. We're just going to try and do a few pages of it. And we'll just do it. We'll do it in the fire pit right out front here that we've set up. Indeed, so many high-profile people have spoken out against the plan that they may now number the fringe church. They see fringe church. It's a 50-member congregation, raising the question of whether the condemnations are magnifying the cause of the very small group of extremists. See, now they're extremists. They're extremists for doing something, one, that's a First Amendment right. It's a God-given right of protest. If it were up to me, we would burn every Quran we could get our hands on. They're vile documents. We would burn the Talmud. Anybody that's read the Talmud, I don't see why you wouldn't want it burned. Here's a partial list of people who have condemned the planned bonfire. Now, if you hear of these people, I want you to protest them. They're already the book of evil. But if you go to this page on Yahoo, there is a picture of Hillary Clinton that she looks like a Skeksa from Dark Crystal. She is one of the worst looking pictures I've ever seen. Doesn't she look like the Wicked Whoa. Witch from Hansel and Gretel, guys? And you guys can't see this, but look at her, Lou.
Yeah.
Isn't she scary? I was like, is that like really her? Did they just... But there's a picture. It's actually a video.
Is that what she looks like without her makeup?
I think that's just what she looks like when they don't smear the lens with Vaseline or something. So, of course, we got Hillary Clinton coming out against it. Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney.
Actress Angelina Jolie.
Haley Barbour, Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour, which I'm surprised by that. Robert Gibbs, the White House spokesman, says it's putting troops in harm's way. Senator Joe Lieberman, well, no kidding, is against this. Let's see. John Bonner, the House Minority Leader, you know, another so-called conservative. Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, a communist, so of course he's going to be against it. Angelina Jolie, who's a disgusting, vile individual as far as I'm concerned. She's a vampire pagan from what I've seen. And just tons of other... And what's funny about this? On Yahoo, they cut the comments out. I was in on it when it first started, and we were commenting that, you know, we should be burning mosques instead of, you know... And so they stopped it. They had so much for free speech, right?
Right.
So much for free speech. Now, there's a little thing here. Who is Terry Jones? Maybe we can... Isn't Terry Jones one of the Monty Python guys? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Terry Jones is a member of Monty Python, too. Who knew he was a pastor? No, he's a different guy.
On the comment section, too, remember that a lot of the liberals, they have control of that by actually...
Yeah, it was probably supporting him. It was probably supporting him, and they didn't like it. They didn't like it at all. Now, here's I clicked on... this is from the Huffington Post, so of course they're going to slam him. Huffington, you know that... You know the lady, Arianna Huffington... that everybody has on for political consultation. She is the high goddess in a sex cult in California.
What?
Came out when her husband was running for president.
Oh.
And she is the high priestess in a sex cult in Hollywood.
Oh my.
Not making it up. It was on all the news. Remember her husband was running? I can't remember his name because she overshadowed him so much. So anything the Huffington Post puts out is going to, eh. But let's see what they have to say about him. The American media may seem spellbound by Terry Jones as a stuntmaster. They can't stop talking about his threat to burn copies of the Quran on the 9th anniversary of 9/11 or asking other notables from generals to cabinet members to comment about it. The only thing they don't seem fascinated by is Terry Jones the person. The British and German press are shedding some light on the issue. German's Der Spiegel, I love the name of that, Der Spiegel, that's their newspaper, quotes Andrew Schaefer, a Protestant church official responsible for monitoring cults in the Cologne area, where Jones once had a congregation numbering 100, saying, Terry Jones appears to have a delusional personality. Yeah. Now, the Times of London, hidden online behind a paywall, you can't read this unless you go pay for it, has some blunter reporting about Jones's background. He and his second wife, Sylvia, left Germany in 2008 after one of their three adult children, along with a former church elder, accused them of financial and labor abuses. Now, the Florida church is funded by T.S. & Company, a furniture shipping business owned by the church, which buys vintage pieces from Europe and then sells them for profit in the U.S. The workforce is combined of Jones' disciples, who work for no wages and live cost-free in tatty properties owned by the Joneses. Okay. See, they're going after now he's a slave laborer. Rather than talking about the issue of whether or not we should be allowed to burn Korans, look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. Lou, you finding anything on his church? Look up, where was it? What did I just say? T&C Furniture? Is that what it was, Lou? T.S. and Company in Gainesville, Florida. And Gainesville is G-A-I-N-S. Because we got to find this guy's, we got to find this here. I'm hearing like thumping. Oh, it was the table. I thought I was hearing music. Nope, that's okay there. Huh? Is that what it says?
Yeah.
When you Googled it? Yeah, find them. And see if we can get an email for them and tell them we support them. And put that email in the chat room, and then I'll pick it up and put it up on the Facebook outlet. Well, we got about 5 minutes left. I'm going to check. What's going on here? I got everything open, and my computer's saying not responding. We've been blessed very well. I don't know if it's the cool air or what, but everything's been working really well. Really well. Oh, where's you broadcast? They got a group. I found a group here that's for every Quran that is destroyed. A group is going to donate one to the Iraqi and Afghan army. Oh, this is cool. He says he's definitely prepared to give his life to burn these. Very good. He looks like a good guy. If he's a cult leader, okay. Everything I'm finding on him is just basically slamming him, calling him a kook and a quack. Which they'd be doing the same thing if we were going to do it. I mean, we'd like to maintain a little bit lower profile, but like I said, if you have Korans and you don't want them, send them to me. We'll use them for backup toilet paper, kindling. We'll shoot them. A bike going by. You know who didn't go by today? The police officer didn't go by today. He's not doing his security checks like he's supposed to. Going back there. Wow. Watch, people are posting stuff. I don't know how old that is, but boy, we should have lost some people in the chat room. Guess they don't like me talking about burning Korans. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to keep burning them.
Oh, the guesties. Oh, just one guestie.
Yeah, a lot of guesties left me. The guesties left me. Let's see. What else was I going to talk about? I talked about that. I talked about this.
Well, here's Rocky Hill Ranger's tip of the day,
Dad. Uh-oh, Rocky's going to speak up. What?
We just had a salad a few minutes ago, and this young lady here put bacon bits in it. You know, bacon bits are real good for sprinkling on moss. They weren't even known.
Were they real bacon bits? Because you make sure there's some imitation bacon bits. If you're going to spread bacon bits on a mosque site or at a convenience store, make sure they're real bacon bits. You don't want to use fake bacon bits.
Well, even the imitation bacon bits actually have a good use because it's a psychological effect.
Yeah, but you know, I prefer if you're gonna violate someone's spiritual well-being, you might as well use the real deal.
Well,
but that's a great idea.
Walk up to one of these moss right here and just
sprinkle
like,
it.
Just like throwing holy water on a vampire.
Just sprinkle it. So you guys ought to start carrying bacon bits around with you everywhere you go. I like that idea, Rocky. That's a good idea. Bacon bits. It's like if against vampires, you know, when we're going up against Islamic zombies. Let's see.
My Twitter page.
Oh, you have a Twitter page?
Yeah, from a long while ago.
You actually have a Twitter page?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay, well, we're going to get ready here for a break. And when we come back, we'll be up on Liberty Tree Radio. Turkey bacon bits would be a bad thing. They don't mind turkey, Warland is saying. We'll be back. We'll have Liberty Tree Radio with us. And I don't know what we're going to talk about. I was expecting more calls on this. I thought you guys would be angry. But that's okay. Just,
I guess I have the anger for
yeah,
everybody.
You guys managing your anger well. Used to be people would call up here and get all kinds of mad. So we'll be back after the break with more of Dutchisms.
They point a crooked finger and they're all unanimous by calling me extremist cause I'm down on Zionists. So now I want to sing a new song. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skiddies who realize it was the Jews who did the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. Now what's so bad about being extreme? If I'm extremely innocent, if I'm extremely keen, if I'm extremely paranoid, it's cause of what I've seen. It's written in between the lines of every magazine. The FBI, the CIA are working for the KGB and getting in my way. Cause they don't like my politics, they dog me every day. I'm getting tired of telling them the problem is oy vey. The enemy is communism. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies who realize it was the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I just want to get the job done. Wants to know the truth, but all he gets is phony news. His state of mind is captured by the mob's opposing views. His only guarantee is that he shouldn't be amused. Some may win, but most will lose. Their lives are only figments of the thoughts they cannot choose. And I doubt you'll ever see me on the 6 o'clock news, exposing lying, thieving, cheating communists.
made me sing you this song. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies who realize it was the Jews who did the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. I want to be an extremist, and I just want to have fun. Cha cha cha.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
A brain,
you
mean?
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world order.
Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Bats, Jones, Jones, Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
You better wipe that smile off your face or I'll do it for you.
Oh, whipping out the Duke, El Duque. El Duque. Hello, hello, is that John Wayne? John Wayne, hello. Well, I don't see the folks up from Liberty Tree Radio, so maybe we're not on, but this is the Dutch Jones radio program. Maybe he's guest, and he's getting signed in. And we want to thank you for tuning in. However you're tuning in, if you're listening to Scotty38's stream on 11 meters on Channel 2 in the Finger Lakes region of New York, the shout-out to you. Thank you for listening. And I've gotten emails from two or three listeners of that feed, and they keep they give me praise, and they say, how come you're not on commercial radio? I'm like, just listen to the show for a week. You'll see why I'm not on commercial radio. And we know we're not going to be able to get on anything unless it's free. So we're on The Watchman. We're radio. We're on shortwave. We're on CB. I don't think we're on satellite anywhere, and that's the most common. We have a lot of people that wish we were on satellite so they could just, you know, listen in their home. We're on a couple FM repeaters. I'm not doing the show here locally anymore because there's just too many people looking to ambush me. What's wrong with you, broadcast? I don't know what's going on with you, broadcast. Chuck's saying something's going wrong with you, broadcast. Take a look at it. We are transmitting over Ustream. We're doing all kinds of stuff here. We can't do video when we're in the Batcave. When we're in Tora Bora or whatever we're in now, we just don't have the bandwidth over satellite internet. It's not satellite. I don't want to make it sound like we're all impressive. We are simply just don't have the bandwidth. If we turn the camera on, it usually takes us off. When we're at remote sites and we have DSL, then we'll do it. I like being on the video. I don't know why. Maybe so you guys can take a look and see what Dutchie's really like. Also helps the FBI. They don't have to do all the sketches and follow me around and take pictures so they can see daily what I look like. There's a lag in the chat room. Yeah, we've been seeing that too. I think it's just when it gets real busy, wherever the server is, it's probably in Europe or something. But there is a lag in typing that. In case we are getting some new listeners, I am Dutch Jones. This is the militant Christian worldview that I am going to share with you. I don't care if I'm reading the news or talking to you about how to use your entrenching tool to build a hasty fighting position or to crack open someone's skull. It is Christian-based, and that's what we do. We're coming to you from, I can still see Sequoia National Park. The clouds are starting to break a little bit. I thought we were going to get some rain, but we didn't. So we're outside Sequoia National Park in Central California in the foothills, in the mountains. That's right, California. There are people like me and you here in California. There's actually a lot of us right here. And we try to stick together in little enclaves, and unfortunately the fear keeps us apart sometimes. So I try to reach out. The purpose of this show is to spread the gospel, to show people that there is a alternative to the corporate church, sit on your hands, pasty, wimpy little Christians that you most of America has bought into. I almost said you have bought into, but if you're listening to this show, you haven't. After the War of Federal Aggression in the 1860s, the church was taken over by the federal government, and they made most Christians into zombies. Now, I told you guys yesterday, I think I went into it, I talked about the Presbyterian church I went to and how pathetic it was. I didn't sense the Spirit of the Lord in there. They're talking about Pixar movies in the sermon. Not that you can't use all things to teach the lessons of the Lord, but it just wasn't there. So when you come here, we're gonna talk about bayonets one day, Bibles the next, or talk about burning the Quran as we were. We tried to, over the break, we tried calling Terry Jones, and we put the number up, and it's busy. His website is down. He's being attacked. He's being bombarded. If anyone here in my listening audience has a way, especially those that are listening in Florida, you pod people, you have a way to reach him, the phone number for the church or something, give it to me. I'd like to get this guy on the air. I'd love to have him on the air on September 11th, which is going to be, what day is that? I think that's Sunday, isn't it? If today is 8th, Wednesday, 9th, 10th, it's Saturday. We'll do a special Saturday show if I can get him on the air. I would really love to have him on and let him know that I support what he's doing.
It's this Saturday.
So Saturday, burn your Quran. So you're having a barbecue on Saturday, saying goodbye to summer. If you're living in a climate where the seasons actually change, it's always summer here. It's summer and then rainy season. That's it. Give him a call and burn your Quran and let him know that you did it. Let him know that he and his 50 people are not alone. And if you get a weird vibe from talking to him, let me know that too. You know, everybody's claiming he's a cult leader and all this because he makes furniture. There's nothing wrong with that. We have a good friend, Pastor Thomas McConnell. His church, they're involved in low-impact logging and using those logs to make really beautiful furniture. They raise all their own food, and he takes problem teens, and he teaches them a skill, and people will say that's a cult. The difference between a cult and a true Christian church is, does the pastor claim to be the only way to God? Does the pastor claim to be the only voice that you're going to hear God through? That kind of stuff. People like to throw that word cult around a lot. The Catholic Church is a cult, but they don't like to do that. Why? Because you have to kiss the ring of the Pope. You have to call those clergy father. They make up rules that aren't in the Bible. That's a cult, but they won't, the American media is afraid to do that. Yeah, I'd like to know what Pastor Manning, Moreland just posted this, what would Pastor Manning think about burning a Quran day? I have a feeling that Pastor Manning probably has a whole stack of Qurans right next to his fireplace. I haven't heard from him in a while. The last thing I heard is he called for somebody to shoot the Mac Daddy, and that's how I'm going to put it. But I don't know what happened to him. The Secret Service is probably already all over him, so it doesn't really matter what he says or not. But I haven't been following him too much for the past few months. There's just too much out there with Chuck Baldwin, stepping up. I've been really paying attention to what he's saying. I'm really looking forward to the first weekend in October getting to meet him, getting to speak with him. Well, hopefully I'll be one of the lucky ones that gets to sit down at his table and have dinner with him and ask him some questions. What kind of questions are you going to ask him, Lou? Where'd you get that tie? That's what you got. Okay, Lou. Where'd you get that tie, old man? Huh?
I'm gonna tell him, yeah,
I voted for you. Well, I don't vote anymore, so I promoted him. Stacy still votes.
No, she, I don't.
You don't vote anymore either? No. You're not going to vote anymore?
What's the point now?
Yeah,
after you got elected.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's such a scam. Yeah. If you want to vote, I'm not going to knock you, but...
It's all rigged.
Yeah. I'd rather put my effort into training people to deal with the results of what the voting system has done. So that's what we do here. So this is the Dutch Jones radio program. I'm going to give the phone number out, and I'm going to see if one of you guys call in. And if nobody calls in, Lou's going to hum. You're just going to get up, get ready, get up there and just go, nah, 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 nah. Do it, Lou.
I think we all do.
I don't mean hum a tune. I mean just go, like a bad refrigerator. Like, how your refrigerator at night makes that noise, and you're like, what is that noise? And you don't hear it during the day, but at night you hear it because it's the refrigerator. You ready, Lou? I'm giving the phone number out, and as soon as I give the phone number out, I want you to start humming in your mic. It's up. Okay, it's 559-561-8225. And we're going to hum until the phone rings. Go, Lou. Come on, Lou, you can do it. Keep buzzing.
You mentioned sketches earlier. Sketch,
keep going, Lou.
Sketches of you.
Go. That is actually Lou buzzing in the mic. That's the most noise you guys have ever heard out of Lou since the inception of the show. Are you done there? Somebody says if Lou starts humming, I will go walk the dog.
Hey, we're losing a listener.
Actually, I heard that if we transmit Lou humming, it actually makes plants grow. So if you've got any like tomato plants or anything, you might want to put them next to the speaker. If you're recording the show, you might want to loop that. I don't know what it is, but we've discovered that when he walks around the house doing that, things grow. It also attracts house flies, but we're not sure why.
It's called Lou.
Especially if we play it real loud. Bzzz, I think it's giant mother fly or something.
It's called Lou Harmonics.
Lou Harmonics, yeah. We've got Lou Harmonic growth dynamics going on here. But seriously, if you want to call in. You want to tell me about what you're doing in your little part of the world for the Holy Cause of Liberty, I'd like to hear it. I really would. This is kind of turning into our Tuesday, because it's just us, just you and me, you know, only a couple thousand downloaders. It's funny that I wonder if people in Austria and Belgium get our humor. You know, I wonder if like they're going, they like the meat of the show, but then they're like, but his sense of humor, it's so American, you know, or is my sense of humor American? I don't even know. I mean, I love Monty Python stuff, and we watched Cannibal the Musical. And I highly recommend that. You guys have got to watch Cannibal the Musical. It's very funny. Last night, and this is because I'm filling, because you guys don't want to call in. Last night we watched my all-time favorite movie. This is the number one Dutch Jones favorite movie, and you're going to be surprised, I think. And I'd like to get your input on what you think. Little Big Man with Dustin Hoffman. I love the movie. I know a lot of people say, well, it's anti-white. Well, no, not really. It's anti-federal government. And because he was white, you know, Little Big Man was white, and he, you know, he was a good character when he was with the human beings. But I love the movie. If you get a chance to watch it, Little Big Man, it's got Chief Dan George in it, gives you a little insight, you know, and it's kind of, it doesn't pull any punches in the battle scenes. It shows what both sides, how brutal they were, and it also talks about the culture of the Native Americans, the good and the bad. And one of the strangest things that I've noticed that I love about that movie, it was the first movie I ever saw as a kid that had a faggot in it. Here comes the cat again. They had a himane. It was a little horse that didn't want to go fight, and he was a faggot. And through the whole movie, he was just, you know, it was okay. He's a himane, and he lived like a woman. And they kind of, you know, they kind of accepted it. They, you know, they left it alone. But I remember being in the drive-in going, what in the world is that guy? I remember my mom telling me to get back in the seat. You know, don't pay attention to that. I don't remember what year it came out, but I was a kid when it came out. I think Dustin Hoffman got an Academy Award for it. But the thing about the movie that I really liked, huh? Yeah, somebody died in it, that kind of thing. Richard Mulligan, the portrayal of so-called General George Armstrong Custer is the best portrayal of Custer I've ever seen. Now, those of you who don't know who Richard Mulligan is, he was the dad on the TV show Soap. He's a comedian.
Oh, yeah.
What else?
Empty Nest,
thank you. Stacy's a pop culture whiz kid. And he's a great comedian, and he played Custer to the T from what I've studied of what other people wrote about him. Most portrayals of Custer are from his own writings.
Whoa.
And they portray him as being this really, really super nice guy. You know, they, like one movie said that he was the best friend the Indians ever had. Okay, here we go. Okay, can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Hello, who do we have, and what do you want to talk about?
This is Olima.
Oh, hello, Olima. Go ahead.
I've been meaning to call in for some time about Mormons. I was raised Mormon, but I'm no longer, but I very much consider them to be immense allies in the movement for freedom and such.
Yes.
And, I've been wanting to comment on emergency preparedness as far as the Mormons go. As people involved in this movement for freedom, that they have so much experience. They're very much about the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
And they're extremely patriotic. They are extremely prepared for emergencies.
Yes.
And they're taught by their leaders. It's kind of a thing that's part of the, actually, it's not, yes, it's just something that's been a long time tradition and commandment for them, is to be prepared for emergencies, and they try to have a year's supply of food
right
on hand all the time. I mean, and that's something that as people that are part of the freedom, common law, liberty movement.
Well, one thing I noticed about the Mormons, it's part of their culture. I mean, it's ingrained that every family has the closet, that they look out for one another, that they do everything right that way.
Yeah, and they look out for each other, totally.
Yeah. While you're talking, Olima, I am listening. I'm also adjusting. You're the first official caller on the soundboard that's been on the air, so we're just trying to make it sound right, so I am listening. Are you there?
Yeah.
Wow, it keeps cut. It's... We're losing volume. It's weird.
They're not. It's not only just about emergency preparedness, but for them, they're thinking about a year supply of food. Growing up, my parents had barrels and barrels of wheat.
Right.
In storage in our garage and in other places in the house. My mother would grind wheat. We had a wheat grinder in the house. They keep a large supply of canned goods on hand all the time. They're very into canning. Anyway, there's a lot that we can learn from them. And,
yes.
Insofar as those types of things go.
Well, here's my official... the official Dutch Jones stand on the Mormon Church. I do not like the Mormon Church. I do not like the Melchizedekian movement, all that kind of stuff. But I love Mormons. I have some really good friends that are Mormon. I grew up in Colorado. They're just loaded with Mormons. I've worked with Mormons in the fire department. I think they're great people. I have the same view of them that I do as Catholics. As long as they are saved and they understand who Jesus Christ is, I don't get into it with them about what the Mormon Church does. But I can tell you one thing. That preparedness thing, that is one big tick on the positive side for the Mormon Church. As far as an institution, as a religion, you know, I don't want anything to do with them. But as an institution, like when we'd show up at fires, if it was a Mormon family, the church would show up, or whatever they call them, and would have everything that family needed before the Red Cross, Salvation Army, or her little IRF unit got there. They were ready to go. And when I would teach classes in the Mormon churches, they were way beyond what FEMA wanted your average family to have. So we got into some really good discussions. You know, when I'd find out that they have a year supply of, you know, red winter wheat, and they have their own mill for every four families or whatever, that was fantastic. So I have nothing but respect on that level. Yeah, I think you're right, Olima. And it is something that we should exploit that. I think they're a great ally. They were a great ally on Proposition 8 here in California. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, good. I don't know why it's breaking up. I hope...
So much.
Can you hear me okay, Olima?
I can hear you fine.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just that we got to just set the adjustments in the settings. But yeah, I think that's an excellent point. Definitely because, well... One of our biggest trainers, Magic Serbiak, lives in Utah, and he comes out here. And one of the reasons he picked Utah, and he's a Catholic, was because the Mormon Church, he just knew that they had their stuff together.
Yeah, they totally have their stuff together, yeah.
Well, thank you for calling in. We're going to continue to work the bugs out with this. I thought we had it all figured out. We had Debbie call in today, and it sounded fine, but we'll continue. But thank you for calling. I appreciate it, and that is a very good point. We will keep that in mind, that the people... do not necessarily deserve our, what's the word I'm looking for, our focus when we're talking about them.
Perspectives on Christ and such.
Sure, yeah. And then that doesn't mean, another reason I still have contact with Mormons, and a lot of people don't like it that I do, is I'm always trying to live as an example to them. I mean, some of my friends, I have a good friend, and I won't embarrass him, but he's a Melchizedekian in the priesthood, and we differ completely, but he's welcome here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's very welcome here, but we just don't butt heads on it. We find the common ground and stick with it.
Yeah.
Okay,
awesome.
Okay, thank you, Olima. We'll try and figure this thing out. I appreciate you calling in. I hope you're having a pleasant night there in Southern California. Watch out for the rioters.
Yeah, It's pretty cool, actually, just like you were saying in out in Korea. It's overcast and pretty on the cool side.
Sure, sure. Good, good, good. And as I look out the window, I'm seeing two fork bucks, and about three does sitting out my front window here, so it's a good day. Okay, thank you, Olima. God bless you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Wow, that's kind of weird. Yeah, Bat Fag's in the room. We just joined up here. Oh, no, Bat Fag's sound is not working. See, I don't know what's going on. Some people have trouble. It's not us. It's not us. Let me turn down that phone there. I'm going to try switching the phone over to the other channel. I tried everything else. Can you? Yeah, you can still hear me. That's kind of weird there. We'll try different inputs. I don't know if the line output of this phone device is too high a voltage. We'll try going through the phono input. We can do all kinds of stuff. We were able to buy enough cables that we can make this work, guys. So that's why I was really hawking the, hey, give us a call, give us a call, give us a call. We wanted to know what was going on. It looks like the pastor's already down there at the church. And another reminder, do not call me. I turn my phone off, and we run out of the building on Wednesdays because we have to get to Bible study. And tonight, maybe that's why Olima called in. She's, I don't know, Olima, you're in the room. Would you consider yourself a lapsed Mormon, a Jack Mormon, or a no longer a Mormon? Because what we're going to do tonight is we're watching God Makers 2 that talks about blood atonement and the cultic aspects of the Mormon religion that was put out by ex-Mormons. And they're very powerful videos. I have a personal experience with the Mormon church where I had a... she was the not best woman. What do you call them? Bridesmaid at my second wedding. I've been married 3 times, guys. Stacy gets mad when I talk about this. I was married for 3 days to a best friend in high school. It was a female, and then married for what did we decide that it was 16 years to my second wife.
That was 18.
18 years, and then to Stacy for almost 2 years here. Mm-hmm. And these last 2 years are way better than anything I've ever had. But. Yeah, I was married for 3 days. It was one of those disgusting things. We were teenagers. We lied about our age. She wouldn't, and this goes back to how I was before. She wouldn't sleep with me unless we were married, so we went and got married in Wyoming. And she's a very good friend still now. She was awesome. But where was I going with this? Oh, my second marriage, the bridesmaid was a Mormon. Michelle was her name. I won't give out her last name. And... she quit the Mormon church. They sent these men after her, which were called avenging angels, and they kept harassing her, harassing and hounding her. Well, this is when I was like 16. So what I did is I rounded up about 8 teenage punks, Mohawks, road warrior types, and it was kind of funny. She told them, stop coming to my house, stop going to my place at work. She worked at Little Caesar's Pizza. They would show up there. Your family wants you back. Your family wants you back. She literally ran away. And went to live with relatives that had also exited the Mormon church. And they kept sending these 2 guys after her. This wasn't the guys on the bikes with the little name tags and all that. These were guys that called themselves avenging angels, and they had to physically bring her back. Well, we knew eventually they were going to try to kidnap her, so we had 24-hour security on her. But what we had was wiffle bats, those great big red bats. Mm-hmm. These 2 guys showed up one night about 9 o'clock at night in a van. And they got out, and they called her to come to the door, and we had 2 people at the house. Calls went out. There were about 8 of us that got there, and we just stung the tar out of these guys, did no physical harm to them, and just wailed on them with these wiffle bats. They never came back again, but she got a notice in the mail that they had not accepted her letter of resignation, and they had married her to a dead Mormon.
What?
That was my first real negative exposure to Mormonism. Was dealing as a 16-year-old with another 16-year-old who later became, you know, bridesmaid.
How did he say I do?
I don't know, but they married her off to a dead guy. And to make sure that was her family. And to this day, I don't know what she's doing because she doesn't talk to me anymore because of the ex-wife thing. But the first experience I had with Mormons was in the 5th grade. My mom and dad were truck drivers, and they said, hey, we're going to drop you off, you know, at a place for about a month, and we're going to go on the road and make some money because we were living in a car. And so they found somebody, and they paid him to babysit me and my 2 younger brothers. I was 12 years old. So we went, and it was a Mormon family. And they made us go all the time to their Mormon church. And I didn't really notice any difference. I never went to church normally. So that was it. I just knew that things were a little different. Like, they wouldn't let me drink soda. They wouldn't let me drink my tea because I'm a teetotaler. I don't drink coffee. And at 12, I still drank tea. But they seemed like good, decent people. And one thing I did notice is he wouldn't let me just sit around on my butt. He made me work. He was some kind of salesman, and he made me go to work with him and stuff. And I had no negative problems for him. And then after the whole wiffle bat incident, I went to work at the city in Reno Valley, and like the entire city staff is Mormon. City council, the city manager, the city attorney, and they loved me. They loved that I was doing all kinds of stuff. And you know, with the disaster preparedness, the video stuff, I would kept getting recruited and recruited and recruited by these Mormon folks. Finally, the city manager or the city attorney, trying to remember his name right now, very disheveled man, nice guy. He took me out to lunch, talking to me, and wanted me to, you know, he's telling me you should join the Mormon church. And he started hitting me with some of the weirdest stuff I've ever heard come out of a so-called Christian's mouth. He started talking about getting my own planet, started talking about having multiple spirit wives. Started talking about all this really cool stuff, trying to, you know, entice. This is before I was a Christian. And I can't remember his name. He was the city attorney from Reno Valley. And if he's still out there, he's probably still a city attorney. But I was just like, no, man, I don't want anything to do with that. But I can tell you something. The other thing these Mormons wanted me to do, these so-called fine-upstanding, hard-working Mormons, they all wanted me to hook cable up illegally in their houses. They'd invite me over for dinner and go, hey, we're having problems. Can you hook it up upstairs? And I'm like, well, you have to pay for the extra box. Oh, we got the other box at a swap meet. Can you do, you know, so I hooked up their cable because, you know, my view of the cable company is the same as communications. But what was his name? I got to remember. I hate it when I can't put a name to it because he's a public official and I don't, you know. I have no problem with it. But Moreno Valley was just swamped with them. But most of the Mormons, like my Mormon friends now that I have, there's nothing wrong with them that I know of. And they seem like good people. And I'd rather have them in a foxhole beside me than, you know, some Jesuit.
Well, where I delivered to you up here in Utah, Dutch.
Yeah.
The person that was on the dock, he was just
Mormon. Oh, yeah. Well, Utah is going to be 90%.
Yeah.
Okay, I hear the music playing. We're going to cut out of here. And we're going to be, we got another half hour, right?
Yeah.
Got another half hour. Listen to the commercial. Buy stuff from us. Donate to us. If you don't donate to us, we're disappeared. Not because I'm being mean. I'm not pulling a God's going to call me back kind of thing. But if we can't pay the internet bill, if we can't pay the electric bill, there's, I mean, you know, I can always throw up an FM transmitter and do it here. But we need folks. You guys that are all, I'm trying to look. Everybody in there has already donated something. So if you're listening on one of the feeds, you know, people in the chat room, forget about it. Forget about it. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those Belgian pod people. So we'll be back after the break, and we will talk about something. I have no idea what. Maybe we'll try the phone again. Maybe we'll do the phone during the break. Okay, we'll be back after this.
Show me the way through my trials here on earth and to
the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you've surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
Government is the
There's
problem.
Rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government
is the problem. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Sounds like good advice.
What sounds like good advice, Lou? That was John Wayne again. You got to get some sound effects off Little Big Man, like Go Snake Eyes. See, if you watch the movie, you know what I was talking about. There's some great, great one-liners, and they're like, I have a pain between my ears. I like the stuff the Indians say. Yeah. The best line, though, is, you go down there, General Custer. And he's like, there won't be nothing but a greasy spot left to you. A lot of the General Custer stuff is really good, you know, off of that movie. Oh, to come. Yeah, you can bring your firearms. I don't know how you're going to transport. I mean, are you flying or driving, Chuck? You come to the conference, bring your handguns or rifles, and if you're willing to stay a couple extra days, we can shoot together on the range, and we can show you some of the stuff we do. You know, if you bring like a carbine or a long rifle or a pistol, handgun. The demonstrations will be audience watching only. They're not audience participation, but we're going to show you. Because the theme, the sub-theme of our conference is the church that trains together stays together. Right? Isn't that what it said? Doesn't it say that in there somewhere? Lou's getting the flyer out right now. The church that trains together stays together. And, okay, you're going to be driving fine. And, yeah, come on out. And if you're, let's see, back by popular demand, there will be a firearm demonstration once again. And the church that trains together stays together. And hopefully a couple of our, we've invited our instructors, our regular instructors, Rudy Wallbanger. Waldinger, Rudolph Waldinger, and Magic Serbiak. We only have foreigners teach us. Actually, they are Americans. By God, they are Americans. If you can make it, Chuck's asking when he should get here. If you come like on Friday and stay till like Tuesday or Wednesday, we could show you a lot of stuff.
Or if he comes out Thursday.
Yeah, well, we're going to be getting ready, so we won't have time to take him on the range. The best time to, because remember, everybody's coming here to camp. The best time to shoot is after all the RVs leave because the RVs camp up on our shooting range. Yeah, you don't want any confiscation, police thievery. Cops don't even come on our property.
Drive the speed limit.
Yeah, just go 1 mile an hour under the speed limit. Don't zigzag. Don't tell anybody you're going to California for a militia Christian training meeting. Don't tell them you're coming to see Chuck Baldwin. You know, cover your Chuck Baldwin stickers. But if you come out here Friday night, we may or may not have another. Tacos were expensive.
We may find
spaghetti or something.
I don't know what we're going
to do. We may cook spaghetti Friday night for everybody. But you get here, there'll be places to camp. We'll have the drinkable water labeled. Because we have water that comes out of wells and waters that come out of the ditch. You don't want to drink the ditch water because Lou plays in the ditch. No. What?
Us ladies confirm spaghetti.
Okay, Friday night's going to be a spaghetti dinner. So if you come in and you get here on Friday, we'll have spaghetti and a movie.
Yeah.
We will have a movie. Last year we showed Johnny Tremaine and Alvin York. Yeah, maybe we'll show Alvin York this year. Yeah, people were tired. But this year we can show Alvin York or something, and good time to fellowship, and just come in. You'll come in. We'll show you where you can set up your tents, or if you seriously, a couple people, first come, first serve. People can sleep on our living room floor. I don't know if my daughter's going to be here. We have a rollaway cot, but if you have sleeping bags or something, you want to set your tents up around our front yard. I advise to do it up on the field because you're going to get really good fellowship.
Or the park.
Or in the park. The park is the best because you'll have access to bathrooms and trees.
If people want to
shower, we're going to have the shower here working. Is that right? Is that the plan still?
Yeah.
We have a shower in the library that needs to have the hot water. Anyway, you guys know the issue. First come, first serve on that, too. The water gets cold real fast because we only put in a 40-gallon or 50-gallon water heater. Telling you folks, this is the place to be the first weekend in October. People are going to be from all over the country. I mean, Chuck Baldwin, folks. This may be the anointed one. I don't know if he is yet, but he's definitely leaning that way. Peter Hammond, he's going to warn us what this country is going to look like because he's fighting the war in Africa. He is a Christian soldier, literally. He's got a Bible in one hand and AK-47 in the other. And he is just standing up for Jesus in the most inhospitable arena. And he's going to be here to share. I mean, the pictures alone. The pictures alone. I don't know if Luke could put pictures up in the chat room or not. We're going to figure out how to do that. If he could put some pictures up there to show you what he's shown us. You're going to come away from this conference, at the very least, emboldened and educated, going, wow, there is hope. And hopefully you'll come away saying, wow, there are people out there that we need to be paying attention to. There are people out there that we need to be supporting and need to be working with. No, it probably won't be hot in October. In fact, at night it may get down into the 50s. It's rained. We've had sleet here in 1 October. Last year it rained a little bit. So bring some rain gear, but no, it won't be hot. It'll be in the 70s and 80s during the day at the most. It'll be too cold to swim in the river, let's put it that way. But out on the shooting range, it'll be great. It'll be great. And, we had people last year stay 2 or 3 days, and we're just shooting. And especially if we can get some of the instructors to stay. If we can get Rudy and Magic to stay a couple extra days. We did have sleet one year. It was kind of weird. It'll be spadoinkle weather in October, Lou says. Spadoinkle. That's American slang for good, right? We thought it was Yiddish, but it's not. That's from the movie Cannibal
the Musical.
You thought Oklahoma was crazy. No, California's way crazy. We have a bunch of Okies that are at our show. There's a lot of Okies that live in the area, by the way, Chuck. They came here during the Depression, and they're still here. So we have a lot of Okies that come to our church for the conference. You're going to meet a whole spectrum full of people. There's going to be a couple Christian Identity. They show up every year. There's 3 or 4 of them. They keep their mouth shut. We don't throw them off the property. This year, I'm expecting there may even be a couple Nazis that show up to see what's going on. But, hey, maybe they'll hear the gospel and change. I don't know if there'll be Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis. I hate all Nazis. But throw back there to the Blues Brothers. And there'll be a group of Nazarenes, which will be selling honey and almonds. They'll be here, and they're kind of pacifist. There'll be Russians.
Those are sweet fans.
We have some really good Russians that come, and dust bowel transplants? What's a dust bowel, Chuck? I mean, you mean dust bowl? Oh, okay. I was like, I didn't know dust bowel was some new disease.
No, bowel.
That's great.
It's okay.
That's got to be intentional. That's got to be intentional. Yeah. It's like a bowel transplant. I know a couple people had to get those. I probably will need one. But we're going to have... There was one family that came. They didn't come last year. But they were like New Age Christians, you know, hippie bus, that kind of thing. But everybody gets along. You'll see side arguments going on, but it's still good. Well, I don't know. We'll see, you know, a couple people. I will be videotaping it. Lou will be videotaping it. Lou will be doing audio. Well, we'll be taking turns. Lou will be, so you can, that day, if you get the money in, you can buy, you know, the sermons that are, the teachings that are given. If you're willing to wait a couple of weeks for Lou and I to edit it, when I say Lou and I mean mostly Lou, to edit it, you can buy the conference. I don't know how much it is. Do you know yet, Lou, what they're charging for the...
Okay. Last year was 50.
It was 50, but it may go up because the discs. But you can get the audio discs, you can get the video discs from us. And we're not Francis Ford Coppola. It's just a shot of the speaker. Yeah, whatever it is. But you only do CD now. You don't do cassettes anymore.
No.
You can do 8-track this year. What about laser disc? The big laser disc. Are you gonna do those, Lou? Because undoubtedly there'll be somebody from like North Dakota. Yeah, I need it on 8-track.
And laser disc.
But you get those and make copies and pass them around, and these things end up in all over the world. We get calls all the time. People, you know, bootleg them, but just pay for the initial one. Pay for the original one. During the breakout sessions, you know, when there's breaks in between, there will be selling stuff, mostly survival stuff. But there'll be people selling books, tapes. You can actually go out and talk to some of the speakers, buy autographed books from them, that kind of thing. It's going to be a little different this year because there's going to be security. Because of Peter Hammond has a fatwa on his head. And we're going to have VIP security for him. So if somebody, you know, you may not get to run up and wrap your legs and arms around Chuck Baldwin. You know, you may get thrown to the ground or something, but just know that's one of the reasons we're charging the $50. We have to pay for armed security. And, of course, Chuck Baldwin's got death threats, too. And so, we're having to be a little more organized this year. Last year, we had the threat of a group of people called the Central Valley Skeptics or something like that. I'm trying to find it here. They were anarchists and atheists. I can't find. Oh, it's on that computer. That's why I can't find it. They were talking about coming up and disrupting. I've told the story when they found out that we're all armed. I'm probably going to go concealed this year because we're going to have a lot of new people. I probably won't be wearing in the open because, you know, I don't want to be a target, but I will be wearing a vest. I'll be wearing a bullet-resistant vest, so don't think I'm that fat. I heard it'll make me look a little chubbier. I don't want people going, boy, Dutch, you're fat. You're fatter than you sound on the radio. And yeah, Lou's gonna wear every knife he owns, or maybe if by then we get a pistol or something. Well, Lou's gonna be in the sound booth, and he'll be well armed in the sound booth. So you don't want to pull a gun in the church chapel with Lou in a position higher than you with a rifle in his hand. The kid's dead eye. He can, with his pellet guns, he can shoot the eye out of a woodpecker at 200 yards, or in a windstorm. You don't think it'll go 200 yards? Yeah, in a sleet storm with loud music playing. But he's a dead eye, and so don't make a move on that sound booth. It's an armored sound booth, and it can't be gained access to. Actually, you'll be able to see Lou. He'll be running back and forth making copies for everybody. There'll be another. Well, we don't know. Let's pray that he stays. We have some people moving on, and we're hoping that other people stay. Come. This is a great example for you to come to our church, see what we're all about, see what we're doing. And I'm not going to lie to you. Summer here sucks. It's 110 degrees. It looks nice outside. You know, if you guys have seen pictures on the website, but it's still high desert. We're at 1,000 feet. But the good news is, you drive 15 minutes and you're in Alpine. So not Alpine the city, but Alpine surroundings, ecosystem. And it cools off. We've got rivers to sit in year-round. The water didn't get too warm last year. Sometimes the water gets warm even coming off the mountains. But you got Sequoia National Park. You got Visalia down the hill. If you're coming for hotels, they're too expensive. I think the best deal we got people was $80 a night. And that usually fills up right away. The other hotels charge $100 to $150 a night. Yeah, you get a discount if you mention you're here for the conference at one hotel. Just one. The one across from the grocery store.
Oh, it comes from
him. Okay, let's hope this works. Let's try this. Can you turn up the phone? Okay. Okay, we're going to try it again. How are you doing? Yeah, hang on, hang on. Let me turn it down and turn it up. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay, let me try this. Okay, turning it up, turning it up. Hello, can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Yeah, you're not cutting out, but now I can't hear you very well.
Really?
Yeah, Lou's crying now because I just did a feedback. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, see, it's not working. Is this Chuck?
It's stuck.
Whoa, there you go. Yeah, see, I think it's the box. We need to go back to the old-fashioned way where we just hold a microphone in front of it. Yeah, I think that's what we'll do. But go ahead. We'll see what we can do for now. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hey, I was going to ask you a couple of questions. One's a little detailed, but you're still carrying voodoo stuff, right?
Yes, we are. Stacy still sells the voodoo tactical stuff. And you, and so if you see anything in one of their catalogs, you can get it from us for a few dollars cheaper.
If you want a water filter, go to eBay.
you like their... What I've been looking for over for a while now, I had to put it off with the getting this garden, doing this garden,
right,
and stuff. And I got a lot of projects going on now. But I've been looking for a vest. I've seen, you know, nothing fancy.
Right.
He's got this one. I don't. It's not a voodoo. I forget who it's. I can't remember who, Black Hawk or somebody that makes that vest. He's got this vest, and he's got he has a Serpa pole stuck up on his right side of his vest.
Sure.
He has his pistol in there.
Huh.
And I've been looking for something that you could do that had the Molly vest.
Sure.
Where you could go up close to the shoulder. But it had a space because I'd like to, you know, on the LBEs you can put the you put your medical kit or your bandage,
mm-hmm.
whatever, on the left side and you hang it upside down, right?
Right.
So I've been looking for something Molly vest wise that you could do the same thing with that. I don't need them because they got them to where they come with the stupid nameplates and all that junk. I don't need that. I mean, I don't know if a militia would do that or not. But
right.
I guess with names or something. But.
We had a guy up here that just bought the straight Molly vest with nothing on it, and that might be the trick. And then he bought like three or four pockets because he didn't want all the extra stuff. And you can buy just a Molly vest, front and back, clean, just has Molly on it. Just the Molly straps.
Okay.
So what you're saying is nothing fancy on his videos. He has his pistol on his upper right shoulder?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to see that. Because that seems like a great place to grab it.
Well, the reason is too, and I like it that way. If you're carrying, it depends on how you're set up. But if you're carrying your rifle, a lot of times if you're going to be on, it depends on what you're doing. If you're maybe pulling guard duty, or if you're on patrol or something, then you'd have your rifle in your hands. But if you're left-handed, I guess it'd be different too.
Sure.
Or not necessarily left-handed, but if you were carrying left-handed, you know, because in your patrol lines you'll be offset, left, right, left,
yeah.
or right, left, whatever. So I guess it would be a little different. I hadn't thought about that aspect. But for his gun and running guns and stuff like that, he has it up on his right side up here, and it clears the right side of the hip. So he doesn't have anything hanging down over off on his leg or up on his belt, his waistline.
So is it underneath his armpit or is it towards the front on the chest?
No, it's right there on his chest.
Wow, I'd like to see that. I got to look for that when we get back tonight.
Mhm. And so that's a neither here nor there because I have a Serpa now, but I don't think it would work with. For that particular setup, I think you have to have a different back.
Holster.
The holster itself might, you just have to unscrew it and put a different backing on it.
But, sure.
I think that's what you have to do. And I've seen if I remember right, they also have one for a leg holster too now. The Black Hawk. But I don't know. they're, man, those things are expensive. I got a steal of a deal on the Serpent holster I got now, so.
Yeah.
It was in an old package in closeout, you know, and they lowered the price on it. I was like, okay, I'll take that. But anyway, that's what I've been kind of looking for, something like that. I don't know if it needs necessarily. I don't have any plates or anything, so.
Well, like, give me like till tomorrow. What I'll do is I'll forward you the pictures in the email of it and give you what the Dutch Jones best price is on it, and then if you like it, we can order it for you. We have one guy here who bought it for our last we did 2 days of tactical training with Airsoft, and I thought it was pretty good because he could exactly put what he wanted wear on it. And because Lou and Stacy both have, and Lou has my old vest, they're prefab vests, and everything's got to go where they fabricated it to go. You can't move anything.
Right. And I don't really want to get locked into that. I want something that's versatile.
Well, like for me, my role is as a marksman. I'm not going to be a, kicking in the door guy. And all the vests have everything up front. If I'm low crawling, I don't want to be dragging all my gear in the dirt. I love the idea of having a Molly vest where everything's in the back. So I just went back to LBE, put everything on the back. In fact, one of the studio audience guys here brought me some H suspenders, and I went back 1940 style, and I love it. But a vest, yeah, you want some versatility in the vest. And I'm not a big fan of Molly because I've had the button snaps break, and I've just had them ride weird. But I think if you build your own, that's the way to go.
Well, then you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, the pouch is breaking up a little. The pouches, ammo pouches. I want to get the ones that's got the elastic in it. I don't know what you call it. It has the button, and then it has the last, not the Velcro anymore. I don't want the Velcro and all that. That stuff is too loud.
Yeah. They're turning away from
also
that.
Also wears out.
And gets dirty real easy. You're going to see a huge influx in the surplus market of all the Velcro and the Molly and the certain kinds of camouflage because they're getting rid of it and going with something new. They're realizing that the Molly system, it's called matrixing. Your eye looks for patterns. And Molly fits a very strong pattern, all the horizontal lines and the square ammo pouches and all that. So they're getting away from that. But also the Velcro. In the woods, nothing sounds like Velcro except for humans.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, Lou's doing it right now. Do Velcro right now. Yeah, it's like really loud. He just opened one of his ammo carriers, and it's like, it's really loud. So, yeah, you're great. I love the older style stuff that just has the little elastic that goes over the button. And it's good. And it's cotton usually or canvas. It'll last forever. But if you're going to get the new stuff, it's best that you can build your own.
Right. So what are they going to besides Molly?
They're going back to a different style that it's kind of the older style, not the Alice pack, but something a little different. I've seen examples of it so far, big plastic clips that are, really quiet, that kind of stuff. But yeah, they don't like the Molly anymore because they found out that it was just drawing the human eye right to center mass because you had all those stripes and then you have a big square plate in the center. It looks like the size of a target, right? And it's funny, we just ordered, I don't know, would we order like 10 to 12 plate carriers from Major Surplus that we're getting, and now we find out why they were so cheap. It's because they're getting rid of them because they're saying that the human eye is drawn to them, so we're going to have to come up with some way to camouflage them, if that's even true. It could be a marketing ploy, but when I thought about it, knowing what matrixing in the eye is, where you look for patterns in a tree that you can identify, it's a subconscious, instinctual thing, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Great big squares floating around in nature just don't exist. You want irregular, soft edges. And I'm coming up. This is the class for September's class. It's going to be on camouflage. I'll do some more research on what they're going to switch to from the Molly, and I'll do a show on it.
Well, and that's probably why. That's funny because the digital patterns that they got are squares.
Yeah. Well, now they're going with what's the new one called, Stacy, that you're selling for more? It's like a digital smear. The multicam. Have you seen the multicam yet?
Yeah, I think so.
It's digital cam that's been smudged.
That looks pretty neat.
It's about $10 more expensive for everything you get, though, because they haven't done a huge run on the patterns yet. But look at it. It's like they just smeared the Digicam. My favorite, and I'm going to tell you, is I still like the Woodland pattern. That's what our group uses. The Exeter Militia, they're still using the chocolate chip desert, you know.
Are they?
Because they're down in the flatland in the desert where we're at, and it works out great. And we've tested them all. We've tested digital up here. The one that works the best up here, and they just didn't go with it because they didn't know about it, is the British DPM, I think is what it's called. It's really good for pine trees, and it's also good for deciduous, which is what we're in. And don't hit the microphone. I had a cat jumping in the window again. But I really like the British Marine. Just leave them go. Let them go, Lou. You're going to knock the microphone over. I don't get it. I've got a couple digital things. I'm not. But you know what works? The ultimate thing that works best up here, the camouflage the guys are buying at Walmart. The Nat Gear.
Well.
Nat Gear works great up here.
What is it?
Nat Gear. NATGEA. I think it stands for Natural Gear. Is there a logo? I'm wearing one of the shirts now. It looks like granite rock, which we have tons of. It's brown with touches of rust-colored red. And they sell it at all the Walmarts here now. I don't know if they sell it in Oklahoma. But I've got the backpack. I've got the pants. I've got the shirt. And I tell you, I go lay it on a hillside and then try to find it through optics. You can't see it. And it's not that expensive. The backpacks are like $35.
So is it different than what, like, real tree or woodland?
Please read this.
They got some new camo out too now, but is it different than that?
Yes, it is. It's completely different. I wish we had the camera. I'm trying to read the logo right now, but I'm nearsighted or farsighted. What's it say, Lou? The little logo. You can't read it. See, the logo's so good,
it says
he can't read.
Side out.
Yeah, it does. What's that say? Lou's trying to read it and he can't. Nat World. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But they're selling it again at Walmart because it's hunting season, you know, something here.
Right.
And it's all over the place, and it's cheap. Like the T-shirts, sometimes we find the T-shirts for $1 a piece at Walmart, and we just buy them up. I get the long sleeves. In my rucksack, I have 3 long sleeves. One's solid green, one's this pattern, and one's woodland pattern. And that's what we do. Wow, that went fast. Thanks for calling in, Chuck. Made the last 15 minutes go pretty fast.
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much, and give a call. Let them know you're coming, and I'll make sure they hold a place for you.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Chuck.
Have a good night.
God bless you, brother. There we go. That's our friend Chuck out there in Oklahoma. Oklahoma? Folks, the end of another show. This is Dutch Jones, and this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. I want to thank Lewis for making it possible. He got everything set up today. Stacy for keeping me company here, our studio audience for listening and sitting here and adding to the show. And as always, if you want to be part of the studio audience, you just need to send in $5,000 for a set of tickets and you can come listen free. No, I'm kidding. We do need your support, but not that bad. I'm not that greedy. Folks, just keep checking out the website. Make sure if you're coming to the conference, let me know. If you want to volunteer for security, because we need volunteer for perimeter security, we need that. We need people to just help out with setup if you want to come early. And we will run a little training class. You'll have to come like a day early, and we'll make sure you get the rundown on what's going on. So, folks, I want to thank you. I want to thank Olima for recording the shows and keeping them up and keeping the pod people fed. If it wasn't for Olima, we'd only have 12 people a day listening. And I mean that sincerely. And she's a big part of the show. So thank you very much. Thank you, Scotty, for retransmitting. I don't know if we went out over Liberty Tree Radio. Hopefully they're not having problems. Thank you to Chuck, Batfag, all the people. If you missed some of the show, I see there's some guesties in there. It'll just replay as soon as I hang up. I am Dutch Jones. Go to dutchjones.tk. There's a chip in there. Donate $5, people. We just need $5. What's this? Oh, I thought you wanted me to wipe my head. Handed me a napkin. So we will be back tomorrow with who knows what. We'll let the show decide itself. We'll talk to you later. God bless. Remember, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord alone. God bless you all.